Welcome back to VSiN's Primetime Action Friday night. Skill Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Avari, Kelly Bidlin. Maybe my earpiece went out of my ear. I don't know.
It's all right.
Maybe I didn't know the hour was starting. Could be.
Shirt Friday.
Yeah, it's Flower Shirt Friday, for goodness sake. We have a lot in basketball. Kelly is not so much sweating a bet. You just don't want to catch overtime in this New Orleans-Washington game.
Yes, no overtime, please. Plenty of
time.
Let's
update for everything.
Yeah, let me run through everything. NBA going on. Game we're talking about. Pelicans on top of the Wizards, 94-92. I have under 242.5. Live total right now, 233.5. Pelicans 3.5-point live favorites. There's a little under 9 minutes left to go in the game. Sixers on top of the Clippers, but not by much. 79-74. A minute 12 before the end of the third. Sixers 8.5 live. 206.5 is your live total in that game. Pistons on top of the Thunder, 94-85. 8:30 remaining in the fourth there. Pistons 7.5 live, 217.5 live total. Hornets on top of the Nets, 76-75. 6:30 remaining in the third. Nets is still an 8.5-point live favorite, 230.5 live total. Magic and Raptors, which I would think is the worst game in the NBA today, besides maybe Pistons and Thunder. Magic Raptors 61 all. Magic 1-point live favorite, 206.5 live total. Grizzlies and Bulls all tied up at 55, 45 seconds remaining before halftime in that game. Grizzlies 4.5 live, 227.5 live total. Timberwolves leading the Heat 53-52, 2.5 minutes to go in the first half. Heat 3.5-point live favorite, 225.5 live total. Nuggets all over the Rockets, 62-47, a minute left to go before halftime. Nuggets are 15.5-point live favorites, 221.5 live total. Spurs beating the Blazers in the first quarter, 31-26. No Damian Lillard, as we were talking about earlier. A minute left to go in the first quarter. In that game, Spurs 5.5 live, 235.5 is your live total. Over on the Diamond, Nationals and Diamondbacks still scoreless. Bottom of the sixth, Nationals minus 230 live, Diamondbacks plus 185, 3.5 is your live total, shaded heavily to the under. Phillies all over the Cardinals, 6-0, bottom of the seventh. Giants and Marlins all tied at 1, bottom of the sixth. Only a live total up on that right now, 5.5. Shaded to the under. Pirates lead the Brewers 1-0, bottom of the third. Pirates minus 135 live. Brewers plus 105, 6.5 your live total in that game. Rays on top of the Yankees, 4-0 in the top of the fifth. Rays minus 250 live. Yankees plus 200, 6.5 shaded over is your live total. Orioles up on the Rangers, 2-0, bottom of the fourth. Orioles minus 240 live. Rangers plus 195. 7.5 is your live total, shaded to the over. Reds on top of the Indians, 7-1, bottom of the fifth. You can get 15-1 on the Indians. I feel like they can come back. Over on the ice, two games going on right now. Bruins on top of the Islanders, 2-0 still. 18.5 minutes remaining in that game. You can get plus 750 live on the Islanders if you want to hop in live. 4.5 is your live total, shaded to the under. Wild lead the Sharks 2-1, 18 minutes to go in the second period. Wild minus 170 live. Sharks plus 140. 5.5 is your live total, shaded to the over.
I'm following this just for giggles here. Rockets Nuggets first half total, which is 116. And with just a little less than a minute left, we're at 112. Just your just one of many, many bets on the menu, but one of many, many bets that come down to the final possession of a half, of a game. How do they know?
How do they know? No, the Rays up 4-0 on the Yankees. Michael Wacha one-hitting the Yankees so far through four innings. Seven Ks through four innings for Wacha against this Yankees lineup.
If that holds up, by the way, 4-0, and the base is juiced, I believe, in the top of the fifth for the Rays. If that holds up, the Yankees are going to be 5-8 to start this season.
I will ask Bohr the same question I asked last night. See what he has to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
You'll get honors. You get the first one.
About the Yankees.
All right. Which is to say, is it a thing or not a thing? Is that what the question is, basically?
Not so much that. I mean, they'll hit. We think they'll hit. But, I mean, right. Is the pitching going to be good enough for them to get by?
Well, Well, let's add that question to the to the mix on that. Just one of, you know, many teams that we don't want to overreact to necessarily early on in the season, but nonetheless fascinating. By the way, Sixers up 4 on the Clippers in the marquee matchup in the NBA tonight. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, and Kelly Bidlin right here on VSiN's Primetime Action on a Friday night. Let's bring in the aforementioned Paul Sporer from FanGraphs. He's also the host of the Sleeper in the Bus podcast. At Sporer is his handle on Twitter. Paul, good to see you again for the second time today. How you doing, man?
Gil, I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Could you tell folks, before you answer the Yankees question, which Matt is about to pose to you, could you tell folks what you pulled an all-nighter on last night?
I pulled an all-nighter on Twitch to play MLB The Show. The new game is out, and MLB The Show 21 early released last night. So I did a 13-hour stream, chatted with you, got some sleep, and I'm back at it. I'm actually live on Twitch right now, twitch.tv/spore, while doing the radio spot.
13-hour stream. One of the first, Paul Sporer is the first dude, I'm talking to Paul, they're looking incredulous at this. Paul Sporer is the first guy I ever talked to where I ever heard the word Twitch before, used in this, obviously in a streaming fashion. And he said to me, I go, Paul, what do they do? Do people watch you? He goes, Gil, they watch me make my lineups.
Yeah.
Right.
Paul, how many packs did you open last night?
About 200.
All right.
We went off. You know, we got put in some of my own money. Got donations from the stream, so it was great. We had a blast. Everything was popping off. Got some good cards. Pulled Jacob DeGrom, which is one of the best cards you can get. Trout, obviously, still the best, but DeGrom is right there. So we got some gems. Got Harper, Lindor, Jose Ramirez, Strasburg, DeGrom, and Liam Hendricks. Those were the big diamonds that I pulled last night. So the team's already looking pretty spicy.
So you're already ready to destroy everyone. Like after yes. one day of the game being out, you're ready to destroy everybody.
Here's the problem, though, Matt. You got a lot of people out there, and I don't begrudge anybody this, but they bring out the credit card and they get the whole team collection on night one. They have every card already. And that's fine, you know, because without them, we don't get all the great legends in the game, because they added Hank Aaron this year. They added Fernando Valenzuela, Alfonso Soriano. They add new legends every year. Babe Ruth's in the game. Ted Williams, Pedro Martinez was a big addition this year. And if people don't put their money in and buy packs and everything, we don't get those players. So I never begrudge anybody that wants to break out the credit card on night one and get all the cards. It's no skin off my back. I'm not going to tell another adult how to spend their money, or child if their parents allow them to. I really don't care.
All right, put your
money in.
All right. So I asked a question last night. I want to ask you the same thing. So, like, we're looking at this Yankees team, and it's very, very early, and we understand we don't overreact early on in the season. But they're 5-7. This down 6-0 right here in the top of the fifth, staring down the barrel of 5-8. We think that this team will hit. You look up and down the lineup, obviously these names are going to come around and start really, really hitting the ball. But I look at this pitching staff, right? And you look at Corey Kluber, who obviously was signed to be a big part of this staff. He's throwing 87 miles an hour on his cutter. He's throwing 89 on his fastball. I mean, the velocity so far down after these injuries. And then you start looking at the rest of the rotation outside of Cole. And is the pitching going to be good enough? I mean, even if they hit like we think they're going to hit, is the pitching going to be good enough to overcome, you know, being a big favorite to win the American League?
I'm not so sure it is, and that's why I wasn't necessarily looking to pick the Yankees as the winner of the American League East. Now, obviously, you know, Toronto has been struck by a bunch of injuries. Tampa Bay isn't exactly out running and kicking butt either. But I had a lot of question marks, and they all came back to pitching with this Yankees squad. So I totally agree with what you're saying, and it's not so much based on the short sample that we have in 13 games, but it's based on my thoughts prior to the season that are, you know, again, not being confirmed. Nothing is confirmed 12, 13 games into the season, but we're already starting to see it. And I really like the Jameson Taillon move, particularly. I'm a huge Taillon fan. I like Kluber too, but as spring went on, I started to get a little bit concerned about where he's at. Here's the dirty little secret about Kluber. He's always had a bad fastball, but his secondary stuff has been so good that he's been able to work around it. That fastball is even worse now, and if there's any degradation on the secondary stuff, that turns him into a really mediocre mediocre pitcher at this point. He's 35, a lot of injuries starting to pile up. I love Kluber, but he's just not what he was when he was Klubot. So you got Cole up there at front, and then you have so many questions. Even Tyone's a question. How many innings are we going to get from him? And now they're looking at Michael King filling in. I think they sent Domingo Herman out to the alt site just because they didn't need a fifth. I like Jordan Montgomery, but how reliable is he? I mean, these are the Yankees we're talking about, and they have question marks starting at SP2. And then another little secret that probably didn't get enough coverage is that I don't think their bullpen is as deep as it's been in recent years. Like even Chapman, he's still very good, but he's not at the peak. Green, solid, but not at the peak. Darren O'Day, I think, is 512 years old. I think he just had his 512th birthday. Don't quote me on that. I don't have his birthday committed to memory, but you know, he's getting up there in age. I love Jonathan Loaiza, and I think he can be a big piece for them as a multi-inning reliever, maybe even get in the rotation at a point. But I mean, that's one guy. He's not going to answer it. They have resources. They have endless resources, whether it's players or money to go fix it. But I think they have a lot of fixing to do. They are not a powerhouse team. They are a powerhouse offense with an ace and then sketchy pitching behind him.
Now that is an answer that you were looking for on the Yankees there. Let me ask you about the Dodgers here, Paul. A little different variation of what I asked you this morning, which is last night, Dodgers come from behind twice without Bellinger, who, by the way, again, hairline fracture for those who missed it, without Seager, without Betts, without Lux. And they come from behind twice with 2 3-run jacks, one from Turner, one from Muncy, beat the Rockies. But there, despite all those absences in the lineup, there was no shortage of people who wanted to bet the Dodgers up last night. It got north of $3 in some spots against the Rockies, despite all those absences. Today, still no Bellinger, but Betts is back. Seager is back in the lineup. Walker Buehler is on the hill. And I get it. It's at San Diego, who has Tatis back. But nobody seems to want to bet the Dodgers in a way that moves this up. This is pretty even action on both sides. The Dodgers are minus 145. Seem illogical to you to some degree?
It really does. Like I can't really find anybody in their rotation. I mean, I guess there could be a scenario where like Dustin May or Julio Urias is facing a Jacob deGrom or a Garrett Cole, you know, somebody else at the top end of pitching where they should be a little bit of a lower number. But most days, I'm not sure how they're anything, or they don't start at like minus 160 and go from there. So the fact that they're tracking around minus 140, minus 145 right now in a bullpen game, and I like Ryan Weathers. He's a
total
legit prospect.
Yeah.
He's got tons of talent, but what's he going to go? 3 innings tonight, and then they turn it over to the pen. I don't know how this feels like free money. And I know baseball's, you know, whenever you feel like it's free money, all of a sudden, you know, they get beat 8-0. But as far as the logic goes, the money has to go on the Dodgers tonight, and we have to take our chances there. I mean, I don't even feel like I'm taking a chance with Walker Buehler. I had him ranked 4 this year among starters for fantasy, but I mean, that's also kind of a real life ranking because fantasy correlates perfectly with real life as far as starting pitching goes. So yeah, Buehler against a bullpen game on a good Padres team. I like them. They're getting Tatis back, but at minus 145, I'm hammering that all day.
We have 3 other games tonight. We have the Twins and the Angels. We got the Tigers and the A's, and then the Astros and the Mariners. That's Thorpe versus Heaney. Let's see, Montas Urena, and then we have Urquidy versus Kikuchi. Do you have any thoughts on any of the 3 that are still to go?
So I really like, I'm a huge Jose Urquidy fan. I think they're around even up right now too. And Kikuchi, he's gotten a lot of buzz. He's got good stuff, but I'm still taking the Astros there. They're coming off a beating at the hand of the best team in the league, the Detroit Tigers. I'm a Detroit Tigers fan. I'm obviously kidding about that. They're complete trash, but they somehow swept the Astros. I think they're going to be angry and they're going to take it out on Kikuchi and the Mariners tonight. So I like Urquidy for sure, especially at even money.
Paul, after you left the show this morning, I proposed to the South Point staff here a prop. Dodgers are 11-2. Your 1984 Detroit Tigers were 35-5. What is the plus money that you would have to get on the Dodgers exceeding 35-5 at this point for you to make that bet?
So they have to go 24-3, 35-5.
Yeah, they'd have
that
to go
match
25-2 to beat it. Yeah,
boy, I mean, I think I need like what plus 900. I mean, I don't even know what's the number. It would have to be. I have a hard time handicapping that. That's such an insane record. Would you need like Would it go as high as like plus 2,000?
Yeah, I think it would have to be that.
I think it has to be four digits. Yeah, 900 is way too low. It has to be four digits, and I think it has to start with at least a 2,000 to 2,500 before I can even start looking at it. That's a bananas record that they have to go. And this team's great, but they also don't care about necessarily like throwing a bullpen game that they know that they have a chance to lose. And they end up still winning those games a lot. But, yeah, that's really tough. I don't know that they would attack that record. So I would need a pretty gaudy number.
What do you make of the National League Central, Paul? I mean, this the teams all over the place outside of the, you know, the Cubs and the Pirates that are looking to be really, really bad. And then we kind of have the Reds, Cardinals, Brewers that are just all, I can't decide which team is actually good, if any of them are actually good or not. What do we make of this division?
You know, it is a cluster there. And as much as I don't like the Cubs, Gil and I talk about how much I love to rail on them, I still think they're kind of at least in the mix a little bit. They have a good enough offense, a few pitchers that ostensibly have enough of a core talent to at least hang around there, even though they're off to a rough start, even though I don't like that squad. But the other three, they're going to kind of push each other around. It's going to be a bit ugly there, but I still come back to the Brewers and Reds, teams I liked going into last year that certainly underwhelmed against expectations. I still like both those teams. I think what we're finally seeing is that Reds offense click. We waited for it last year at every turn. We kept saying, well, now they're going to start going. Well, maybe they'll get in the playoffs and they'll start going. And it never got turned around. This year, they're off to a great start so far. I think they're starting to play like they can. And then, of course, now Castillo's in trouble. He's had a rough couple starts, and Sonny Gray hasn't pitched, so the pitching hasn't quite been there. But I think once they get their pitching settled with Castillo, Gray, Molly at the top there, and then we'll see what happens with Miley Hoffman, De Leon, and TJ Antone, who fills out the back end there. I still like that Red squad. I like their bullpen as well. I think they have a chance to be a legit team, not just win that Central, but be a team that starts to get some chatter as a World Series contender down the road as well. I still think they have that much talent. I'm not ruling out the Brewers either, though. Their offense, I still am worried about it. Because I don't have a lot of faith in Keston Hira, and he's supposed to be somebody that's instrumental to them. But they've got Yelich, a few other guys. I'm a big Avisail Garcia fan. He's not off to a great start or anything, but I like him as well. If they can get the offense in the right direction, they have two aces at the front end there with Burns and Woodruff. Freddy Peralta's emerging. It all depends how their bullpen and their offense click, but that's why I handicap the Reds as the favorite, the Brewers to stick around and be in it all year. The Cards have talent, but they look so lethargic right now, and I think they need to settle some things with their rotation. I think their offense will be fine. I know it's been bumbling right now. I think they'll be in the mix too. If I were going to handicap it, I'm still putting my money on the Reds, Brewers, and then Cards. 1, 2, 3 like that.
Last thing, Paul, if someone lands on the AL MVP market right now, they can find Shohei Ohtani roughly at short double digit odds. So somewhere around 10 to 1, 11 to 1, 12 to 1, somewhere in that pocket. We're showing DraftKings right now has Shohei at 10 to 1. Trout the short shot at plus 225, largely unbettable. Would you tell him to bet Shohei right now?
I could put a unit on it. You know, I wouldn't go crazy with it. I know you and I don't like to lock up the money in those long-term bets either. So I love Ohtani. He's a unicorn. He's great. Tough part is, though, I don't think the pitching is exactly there yet, right? He still can't command the secondary stuff. And I think both pieces need to be there to really get that MVP chatter going. Like, I don't think he can have a 460 ERA, even though that's not the end of the world. That, 120 innings of a 460 ERA plus a superstar hitter probably is still the MVP, but I think for the voters, he needs to be at least sub 4 while also kicking butt at the dish. So it's going to be tough. 10 to 1, I wish it was a little bit better, maybe shop around, but I could go one unit on it with Ohtani just to have it in case he really goes off. He's just too darn good. I would want to be involved with it.
All right. Paul Sporer from Fangraphs at Sporer, S-P-O-R-E-R. You're on Twitch all night again?
That's right. Twitch.tv/Spore. I'm on all night till about 6 in the morning.
Man, what a life. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Thank you all so much for having me on. Take care.
Paul Spore.
I'm watching this right now. It's fascinating.
Oh, he's like one of the pioneers of that stuff.
I'm never doing this show again without my own audience watching me do the show. Okay?
Yes. Imagine that. He was like, Gil, you don't understand. They watch me build my lineups.
That's what, like, he's on here talking to you. I'm seeing him, and there's a whole chat going of people commenting on the interview and your shirt.
And my shirt? What they say?
No, I'm just playing. I didn't throw that.
I was like, what those bastards say about my shirt? I'll go find them.
I know how to get on.
There better be all good comments on my shirt.
You just tell me how I log on that thing.
Honestly, the only thing I'm a little bummed about is I also own a flower shirt, as we know, and you didn't let me. If we're gonna do flower shirt Friday, I will do flower shirt Friday.
I actually don't own a shirt with flowers. Or
what?
Anything
I got
matter.
One. I can get in on that. Yeah.
All right.
By the way, for my buddy E, he texts. He said, "I just read this today. Talk about Dodgers and Padres. Since 2013, Dodgers are 97-49 versus the Padres. It is the most uncompetitive divisional matchup in baseball during that period." He happens to be a Padres fan, so he's.
And they were in the doldrums for.
They were in the doldrums for a long time. But it is a big brother, little brother kind of thing.
So I did go ahead and. I bet the Dodgers first five and Dodgers full game.
Nice.
So I will try not to split. I hope I do not split, but I'm giving myself a little bit of a hedge if they bring in Kenley Jansen. And
I'm on full. I did not go first five, but maybe I should do a first five.
I'm on first five and full game.
Denver Houston first half total, which is at 116, finished at 118. The over's cashed on Denver Houston. And right now we have a sweat if you're on the Pelicans or the Wizards. Pelicans were favored by 3 or 3.5, depending on where you got this. Pelicans by 2. Kelly, you do not want overtime for your total, for your under.
That would be a bad beat.
Yeah.
I mean, even if I lost in overtime. I'm so well ahead of this. 242.5?
Yeah, but it's 105-105 with 105 left. So this is not good for you. What's your number?
242.5.
242.5. You might even be able to withstand 105.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it almost would be a bad beat if I lost it there.
All right. We'll come back. We'll let you know what happens right here on VSiN's Primetime Action.
Join the action on DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Just download the app and use promo code VSIN when you sign up to compete for cash prizes each week. Don't wait. Sign up now and new customers get a deposit bonus of up to $500. That's VSIN when you sign up. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Must be 18 years or older. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And remember, if you love live in-game action, then download the free Odds Trader app right now so you can start winning with the up to the second info you need. Gil.
Okay. This is very interesting. By the way, a couple of tied games here. 92-92 between the Clippers and the Sixers with 5:20 left in that one. The Pelicans and the Wizards tied at 105. We just had a review that went the Pelicans' way, and now a 3 from the Pels. No good. Rebound by, is that Westbrook on the ground?
On the ground.
On the ground.
Swatted right to him.
19.3 seconds left in the game. The Wizards will have a chance to win it with one possession, or it's going to overtime, and then Kelly's got to sweat an under.
And then Kelly's just going
to
lose.
Which he really didn't need to sweat.
Let's just go ahead and we'll call it now.
Just make a shot. Don't give it to Westbrook for a horrible mid-range jumper again.
Last possession, Westbrook took a ridiculously poor shot.
Also, ask me what percent chance I thought of Lonzo Ball's wide-open corner three-head of going in. About 7%. Yeah.
Okay, a lot of UCLA Bruin slander here. God, jeez.
That was interesting because the Westbrook took a horrible shot. It got blocked, I guess, deflected.
Yeah.
The Pelicans,
I think it got blocked.
I think it did. Yeah. You think it did. Yeah. Pelicans came down. Zion went to the rack. And Daniel Gafford, who the Wizards picked up like 4 games ago, who's got 18 points in this game, just absolutely, well, on initial, they didn't call it a foul. It looked like he stuffed Zion. But on replay, I guess they reviewed it and said, nah, maybe not so much.
Fred Cads, who covers the Wizards, said of that review, he said they just reviewed a replay for 17 minutes and then called it an inadvertent whistle.
That's
apparently
that's
it was
right.
An inadvertent
that's,
whistle.
That's what, the problem with being in this, we love this studio at the Southmore, but we obviously were doing a show. We don't have audio on, so we're trying to decipher what's going on. That was the only outcome that didn't make sense.
Right.
I was like, why do they get the ball and not at the line?
Inadvertent whistle, yeah. Apparently.
So that's what happened, and then Lonzo Ball proceeds to miss the 3, and now Kelly's sweating. The an under on 230, what is it? What's your under?
242.5.
242. So it's at 210. You should be able to withstand an overtime.
I would think so, but I'd rather not.
Yeah, no, I get it. Believe me. I get it.
All right, the white man's got the ball.
Wizards with the ball. Bradley Beal just holding it. He's going to be a one-man show here. As it goes under 8 seconds, Beal makes his move with 5 seconds left.
Oh, this
here comes
is
the double.
Oh, boy.
Here comes the double. Beal to the left. Three. Not a chance. Well, we're going overtime.
Oh. Glad we had time to think about what we were going to run there for our final possession, you know, and just inbounds 3 feet in front of you and then dribble the whole clock out and get a double contested by two people final shot.
I also think that that's always 1 or 2 seconds too much off the clock before
because,
he starts.
Because eventually the defense knows what you're going to do, right? It's kind of like the same thing when we talk NFL, when they run it down the end of the play clock every single time, and the commentators are like, oh, that defensive lineman keeps getting a great jump. It's like, well, they can see the play clock too.
Ball was on Beal, and then I think it was Zion who came over, and it's almost like they were like, oh, they're double teaming us? It wasn't Zion. It was someone else. Steven Adams on the Pels came up. No, it wasn't Steven Adams, was it?
I'm sorry. Steven Adams was guarding.
Yeah. No, it was Ball. But they double teamed him, and Beal looked like, oh, wait, I can't believe there's two guys on me. Jacked up a three. 105-105. You should be able to withstand an overtime. But you won't be able to withstand.
That's why
two
NBA
overtimes.
Owners are tough,
man.
Yeah. You know, you nailed it. I nailed this one,
yes,
and you
did.
Still got to sweat it. You know.
We wonder why the younger generation is going away from baseball.
Oh,
this Rays and Yankees game is just now in the bottom of the sixth. They've only played 5.5 innings in this game. Obviously, first pitch was at 7:10 Eastern, 4:10 Eastern.
Yeah,
there is. One hit by the Yankees, three errors by the Yankees, 17 combined strikeouts in this game, and there's still at least another hour left of this game sure.
Well, and it's 8-0, and unless something called gambling existed, an in-game betting, who would watch this?
Yes. I mean, this game is a snail. I have no idea why is this taking so long, but I mean, this is absurd. 5.5 innings in 2.5 hours.
8-0 race.
No delay? There was weather delays today for a bunch of games.
No delay, just three errors. 10 hits by the Rays, but only one by the Yankees.
Rays plus 148 dog in that one. Looking pretty good. Kelly will sweat this under. Clippers up by 2 on the Sixers, a game where the Clippers looked like they were left for dead at one point. 4:35 left in that one. On a Friday night right here on VSiN's Primetime Action.
Season never ends, and it's time to get your bets ready for the NFL draft. The teams are evaluating the prospects, and our football experts are looking for betting opportunities. We're looking at team needs, position props, and futures markets to find the best bets on the board. Get full coverage on VSiN.com, daily best bet email updates, 24/7 video access, plus we'll be live all night during round one with Brent Musburger, Michael Lombardi, Gil Alexander, Mike Pritchard, and all our VSiN football experts. Learn more and start your free VSiN trial now at VSiN.com. Matt Brown will also
be there.
I'm not going to be there. I was about to say that. Matt Brown will also be there.
I'm not going to be there.
Danielle Alvari will be
there. Surprise headliner. Matt Brown will also be there.
Listen, until I'm in the read, I'm not showing up.
You're okay.
Plan still TBD.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go.
There we go.
TBD.
We know Gil will be there because his name's there. He has to be.
Oh, I'm going.
I am pumped for the draft. 13 days from now. Before we put the RBC to bed for you guys, because we talked about this earlier, how Matt has everybody pretty much but Stuart Sink. Do you, I know you consider this perhaps during majors, or let me not put words in your mouth, let me just ask you, do you ever go back in mid-tournament now and do a mid-tournament outright?
Well, not when I have it this surrounded.
Right.
Right? Like, because I'm just going to roll with what I've got. I mean, I've got guys all, I mean, I have so many guys within striking distance here, and I already have them better numbers. So, like, Corey Connors now is 5-1. Morikawa's 7.5-1. I have Morikawa at 20. I have Corey Connors at like 50 or something, or 40, something like that. I have Abraham Ancer at 40 something as well. So, I mean, I've got all these guys at better numbers. So, no, I sit back and I watch Stuart Sink win, and then I cry into my pillow. is basically what I do.
Yep. Yeah, I don't have as many guys right there as Matt, but same thing. Everybody that I do, these are all shorter numbers on. And the problem is you're still facing a guy who's so many shots up on most of these guys. I mean, it's tough to take anybody who's seven shots back or more heading into the weekend. There's only two rounds of play. I mean, like, Daniel,
he can't shoot 63 for three times in a row. Like, I well, can't
you,
do that.
You would think that, but I even if you're thinking about guys you want to live bet on, I wouldn't tell you that anybody else is going to do that either, right? Like, I mean, Daniel Berger, who's my one and done this week, he's four under. Okay, he goes and shoots 63-63. He's at 20 under. That's probably not good enough to win this weekend.
Can I just say Daniel Gafford has Zion Williamson's number? Another drive to the hole where it looked like Zion was going to go unscathed to the rack, and Gafford, again out of Arkansas, four games here with the Wizards, just sends it back, and the Wizards are up four in overtime.
Right, keep rolling, Wizards.
You do not want a second
overtime. Second overtime?
No, you do not want that. I added a Dodgers first five, by the way, as well, my Dodgers. Minus 155 in addition to the full game minus 145.
Some of the big names got cut, though. Paul Casey got cut. Patrick Cantlay got cut. Zach Johnson got cut. Sergio Garcia got cut. So there were some guys that didn't fare so well out here at this thing. So to see some of these guys just completely destroying this course, and there were some guys that just did not have any success out there. And some of the guys, you know, bigger name guys, shorter odd guys as well.
Yeah, Paul Casey was a guy that I bet pretty heavily last week. He was still up there in a bunch of my modeling numbers. I only played a top 20 on him this week. I think that is, you know, we talk about live betting often and, you know, what your eyes see and stuff like that. Watching him last weekend at the Masters did not inspire me to throw too much on him this week. So that's my one guy who didn't make the cut, and I guess I'm glad it was that one, that's for sure.
So, I mean, if we look, all my guys we have here on the graphic as far as our betting game goes, all of them made the cut. So I'm at least live with all of them. And then we'll just have to see how it goes from there. But I mean, Abe Answer. Oh, I have a top five on him. I mean, I forgot about that. That's fine. He's sitting T11, so he could get there. Corey Connors is second, so total collapse for him not to finish in the top 20. Morikawa is sitting third, or T4, I should say. So he's inside the top 10 right now.
Danielle's looking the best right now. How about Danielle? I don't think there's been a hole in one yet, but did you see who had the hole in three today? Someone hit it in the water on that last par three.
Oh, are you serious?
Had to re-tee and then hit it in for
that's
par.
Brutal to have a hole in one like that.
Yeah.
By the way, did Ian Poulter make the cut?
He did.
Oh, damn.
And no, Kelly, I did not see that. That was not part of my viewing
sorry,
today.
Daniel.
Yeah.
But point was, though, you got top 10. You got Sungjae Im top 20. That's looking good.
There you go, Daniel.
Henley not looking good, but Connor's top 10. That's going to beat out
Henley
Matt's
is
top
one
20.
That, is Henley one that I was following you guys on? Or did
you were following me. Henley's not looking great.
Because I was like, I did not pick
Chris Kirk's T19. So I actually, three of mine are in right now. Streelman's one off of being top 20. And then Abraham Answer's one off of being top five. So I could end up sweeping. You know what? I'm going to sweep.
Wow.
There we have it. Calling my shot. We're coming in on Monday. I'm going to sweep.
I am just better off picking at random than putting thought into it is what I've learned. Because I think the week I won, I think that I did just pick it on the fly. And that's what I did this week. So just go with your gut.
Hoot made the cut.
He did, but he's not the top South African quite yet.
Fratelli? Is that who's at him?
Yeah, Fratelli's ahead of him. So I got a shot at two of mine. But that's about it. By the way, I don't want to tell you the game's tied with 154 left in overtime, Kelly.
Don't worry, I got it
tied.
Next to me.
Yeah, 113-113. Pels and the Wiz. And here come the Pels. Oh, no foul called again. Man, you are going to, oh my goodness.
This is going to be a brutal loss.
You're already calling a shot. You already know what's happening. We shall see. We shall see. By the way, Clippers and the, we haven't really talked much about the Clippers and the Sixers. That the Nets-Sixers game the other night kind of dulled us to how meaningful these games are in the regular season. But the Sixers are beating the Clippers by five here, 47.7 seconds left in this one, and the Sixers add to it 6-point lead. Pre-flop on that game with the 6-point lead, 104-98 in favor of the Sixers. Pre-flop in that game was 4. So that's going to be a sweat for those who had that preflop as well. 115-115 now. Pelicans and the Wizards with 1 minute left in, I'll call it, the first overtime, just to annoy Kelly. And it remains 105-115.
It's terrible. They can't even get a good shot. None of these guys can get a good shot. Go in.
Pelicans from 3. No brick.
And there's only one baseball game within 3 runs right now that didn't just start. So if we're talking about live, it's kind of tough. I mean, you know, Phillies are up 7. The Rays are up 8. The Reds are up 9. Marlins up 3. Orioles up 3. Pirates up 4. There is a 0-0 Diamondbacks Nationals game if you want to get on that. Nationals minus 122, Diamondbacks minus 106 in that one.
Giants magic. That Cleveland-Cincinnati game is taking just as long as that Yankees-Rays game is. 115-115 as we go to break. The Pelicans with the ball, 25 seconds left in the first overtime. 11-second difference between the play clock and the shot clock. We'll update it when we come back on VSiN's Primetime Action. Back on VSiN's Primetime Action. A couple things going on simultaneously right here. Sixers up 1 on the Clippers with 9.8 seconds left in this one. By the way, Joel Embiid with 36-13. This counts for the number one seed, of course, still in the Eastern Conference. And we're just going to hand the MVP to Jokic? Really? Embiid just keeps doing this every night? The game that Kelly has the under on, Russell Westbrook took a jumper with 1 second left, and apparently Zion Williamson had a fingernail on him.
I mean, look, we watched it 3 different times. He did not touch him.
I did not look like he touched him. They went to replay and confirmed the foul, and so they added 0.9 to the clock. But 115-115, Kelly doesn't care. Just he wants Westbrook to make one free throw.
And again, I mean, but as far as real life stuff goes, though, right? Like, the Pelicans are on the brink of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, like, to get that call to go against him is pretty brutal.
But interestingly, Zion did not argue, right? That was the one thing that was a little confusing, but I was like, he must have touched him if he's not arguing. Westbrook hits the first. He he tries to miss the second, but somehow makes it.
Oh, no.
And now the Pelicans will throw an outlet pass. They throw it halfway down. Half-court jumper.
Oh
my goodness.
Is that the front of the rim?
Hit the bottom of the net, I think. But no good. And the Wizards beat the Pelicans at overtime, 117-115. Kelly's under cashes, but barely. That would have been. There he goes.
Still a winner, Gil. Still a winner.
That, where would that have ranked a brutal beats?
The worst of the season. That's for sure.
The old double overtime loss for a Tony. That's happened to me once.
That's a pretty significant loss there for the Pelicans, too.
Yeah.
I mean, again, that's, you know, we're coming down to them being every single win here is going to count for them.
And by the way, not an insignificant win for the Wizards, mm-hmm. if they have plans, right, to get into the play-in games. By the way, these books should be putting up play-in props.
What's up with that? I haven't seen those anywhere.
They should be. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah,
just make them interesting. So back to this Sixers comment. Again, Sixers up 106-103 against the Clippers. Clippers have the ball now with a chance to tie it. Now, will the Sixers foul? The correct answer is they should. Will they foul up 3, 9.8 seconds left in this game? We're about to find out. But what about what I said about Joel Embiid? 36-13 tonight. You know, they're only the best team in the Eastern Conference, but we're just going to hand the MVP to Jokic? Really? Come on.
I would love this is the time where I would love to be able to look at the box score and be like, "Yeah, but he's got 29-16-7 as they head into the fourth quarter."
Jokic does.
Yeah.
They keep matching each other.
I was like, "Yeah, but he's only he's got 29-16-7."
Yeah, but one team's in first place and the other is, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. Listen, we were on the Embiid train for a long time until he got hurt. And that was just,
all right.
He's been doing it.
He has. What a season. Paul George, they just flashed up his clutch time stat. 6-for-50 lifetime. Game tying or go ahead jumpers here at the end of games. 9.8 seconds left. Sixers up 3. Clippers with the ball.
What a brutal stat for them to keep.
Foul.
You know, right?
What a brutal stat. Like, you can't make anything when it counts, buddy. Like, oh.
Inbounds pass. Will they foul? They are not going to foul. Three-pointer, no good. Rebound, Sixers.
Someone.
The Sixers look like they will win, and they will. 106-103, and Embiid throws the ball in the air as if they've won the NBA championship.
You just make that?
That's playing with joy, Gil.
Playing with joy. Yeah, no foul.
They definitely should have fouled.
So mark that down in your your mental Rolodex, as they say, of coaches that doesn't occur to them.
Yes, I noticed the Grizzlies do that the other night as well. I'm keeping notes. Keeping notes.
You know who does foul? Steve Nash every time.
Every time.
Look, we're team foul here.
We are team foul.
This game closed at what? The Philly was a 3-point favorite?
Philly was a 4-point, so Clippers get the number. If you were backing the Clippers there, you didn't want that to go in.
Yeah.
But if you're backing the Sixers, strangely, you did.
It was 3 this morning. It moved to 4 before game time? Wow.
Yeah. Hey, always get, always what, Daniel?
Get the best number.
Get the best number.
That was one, Matt. I don't know if you were watching it. I was hoping to get in on it on this game one way or the other because there was so much injury news in like an hour. The line kept ping-ponging back and forth.
Kelly, you were saying, and we don't usually stop and talk about this, but since it's end of week, at least end of primetime action week, not end of betting week, if you know what I mean, you're having one of the one of your finer weeks ever.
No, not ever. I'm not okay. In your category, but it was a great week. The only L of the week was last night when I tied the Rockies in. So you know, stick to what you know and stop betting baseball, Kelly.
are you sticking to your New Year's resolutions? Pretty much that you had that.
Oh, I don't know, but I mean, if I have if I have a drop of alcohol in my system and I see that UFC fight tomorrow night, with the guy going up against Jeremy Stephens, there's no way I'm not betting that.
Drakkar.
Yeah, Drakkar.
Just because of his name.
And pretty much.
Because he should be on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
The Askren thing is probably the biggest takeaway I had from earlier with Jordan Sherwood.
Me too.
Yeah. So, and we hadn't talked about this on air. We talked about it off air. If were to go with what Jordan said and what you said and go with Askren, who actually, you know, does this kind of combat for a living, we should wait.
That would be my feeling because there's certainly not going to be a rush of Askren money, right?
That is not a thing.
Yeah, that is not a thing. It's never been a thing in the history of things. Like, there's never been, oh, look at that wave on Askren. That's never happened. He was a boring MMA fighter. He's probably going to be a boring boxer. Like, there's never been an Askren wave whatsoever. So, I mean, if anything, Paul's going to get on his Instagram tomorrow or something and, like, you know, hype his fight. And if anything, then the bets are going to come in on him. He probably will TikTok to you, Daniel.
He'll TikTok. But will people watch him watch the fight?
You guys are fascinated by it. You're fascinated by the sport Twitch thing.
I've still got it open right now. It's beyond.
I think I'm fascinated that I'm not fascinated by it. I'm not as fascinated at watching people play as a lot of people.
Well, if you're
are.
Watching still or streaming us or something, we're fascinated.
And what were you asking him about the packs or whatever? Because I think I see him doing that right now.
Yeah. So the way that game works is you build your own. Like, you build your own squad, right? Like, to battle other squads online. Like, you play against other people, but, like, you get players out of packs. And then you can, like, put them in your starting lineup and stuff like that. And everything. That's why he was saying, like, I pulled a DeGrom and I pulled whatever. Like, you know, because, like, obviously getting DeGrom as one of your starting pitchers is massive, you know? And so.
Did you see, along these lines, did you see what Evan Mobley did today? Evan Mobley.
Of USC?
Yes.
Declared for the draft.
Pac-12 player of the year, declared for the draft. But did you see how he did it?
No, I did not.
Through a non-fungible token. So he made it a memorabilia piece for someone who wanted to purchase it. His announcement. Did you catch that?
That's amazing.
We'll have to revisit next week number one pick odds because I would think he's closed the gap on Cade Cunningham a fair amount.
Listen, for those of us who showed up for college basketball later than some others we know, that was one of our biggest takeaways was like, really, Cade Cunningham? So they run away first pick in the draft?
And he was like minus 2,000. Yeah. I mean, major favorite.
And I know you're not supposed to react to a small sample size, but the nature of how he played was kind of passive, kind of deliberate. And I'm just like, I don't know if this guy's a first pick in the draft. Evan Mobley is long, has that has that NBA profile. What just happened, Matt? You okay?
Oh, my foot box fell.
His foot box. Yes.
Floral shirt.
Foot box fell.
I did a whole segment.
Listen, look, there's 3 minutes left. We can pull the curtain. But 2 minutes left, we pull the curtain. My foot box fell.
Yeah. If you're tuning in for the first time on a Friday, this is usually how it works on a Friday.
Yeah, we're a pretty high-class operation here. Matt's feet don't hit the floor because of the way our desk is designed, so he has a cardboard box that he can rest his feet on.
My foot box fell.
And what happens if that cardboard box is no longer with us in this studio on Monday? You rage.
Yeah, it was. Kelly put it out for me yesterday. It was so nice. I had to get it myself today because, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
There are two baseball games just in case we want to get in. If they want, we can remind them. Houston, Seattle. That's Arcidi versus Kikuchi. Spore said he liked Houston in this one. Said he thinks Kikuchi can be gotten to, even with all of those Astros out of the lineup. It is pretty much a coin flip game right there. If you want to get on that one, of course we're in on the Dodgers. That's Dodgers Padres. That's Buehler versus Weathers. Again, Weathers only expected to go a few innings in this one, and Buehler being one of the better pitchers in the league. We're in first five, and we're in on a full game as well on the Dodgers there.
Yeah.
Biggest thing beyond tonight, you're looking forward to betting this weekend, your golf plays, you just want to get them home?
I'd love for one of those golf plays to get home. If not, I mean, look, if that number gets 150-ish, I'll probably play Askren.
Mine is tennis. Danka Kovinic to win that tournament in Charleston, and Casper Ruud to win it in Monte Carlo, but both of them have tall tasks tomorrow.
Casper?
Casper.
Yeah, Casper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Casper Ruud taking on Andre Rublev is a
Casper
big dog.
Where she wanted to go with that.
No, that guy's going to ghost you for sure.
By the way, this my research would say that he's maybe the most famous Norwegian tennis player.
That's right. Yeah, I couldn't come up with another famous Norwegian tennis player. Danka Kovinic has her work cut out for her. Anja Bor is her opponent tomorrow. But I'll just say it again. While the world will focus on betting the NBA pre-flop ATS, there are other sports to bet. And I hope, if nothing else, we sort of establish that on this show.
Over LSU players in the first round.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. I think, have you seen that prop anywhere else yet, by the way? No. Okay. Yep. No. That's a no.
Too little show to get started on.
I think I can mentally survive another.
Was that a needle with 15 seconds left in the show? Right. You just needle me with 15 seconds left in the show.
Matt, I think I could mentally survive one more second place golf finish because that would be 3 weeks in a row. But four weeks would really be rough. So yeah.
Golly, Kelly's needling me. No, we can't bet that here. But for the rest of everybody else out there. Over LSU players.
That was a really good breakdown last night.
Yeah. Like, it's, again, I looked at three more mock drafts came out today from various people. They all had Marshall in the first round. Seems to be kind of the trendy new thing is him moving into the first round. So that would, again, you're getting even money on that right now. Like, you're not even paying any juice on that.
Jamar Chase, Terrace Marshall, that's all you need. And that's all you'll get from LSU, by the way.
Yeah.
But it looks like pretty solid. Even money. For those of you who can bet it, the steel drum music. It means one of two things. Either we're giving out fruit baskets or people are making fun of my shirt.
I'm going to go
with the latter this time.
You're on island time now, Gil.
Good luck with all your bets this weekend. Askren, let's wait and let's bet Askren when the line is more favorable. Good luck from all of us at VSiN's Primetime Action Nightcap with, I believe, Jeff Parles, maybe, is next.
He solo hosted last night.
Right here on VSiN.